I'll tell you a story about a couple I read in the Middle East this week. This story is not from this week, but it's from years ago. But their first visit to the Middle East, they just moved there, and they were told that in this Muslim region that they would celebrate the festivals, the Eids. And that when they did that, this was a time to get all dressed up, clean your apartment, and bring out some sweet and savory snacks, like some chocolates, and have those ready because families and neighbors would be visiting one another. First Eid comes along, and they clean their apartment, and they go and buy some chocolates, and they get dressed up in their best clothes, and they get their apartment ready, and they sit around, and nobody comes. And so they're talking the next week with some friends who have been there a while from the same country they're from, and they said, oh no, you got it all wrong. In this region, the lesser goes to visit the greater. In other words, we pay respect to those who are greater than us. And as a newly arrived foreigner, you deserve no honor. And so the families will go and visit like an older uncle or a grandfather. And when they enter the home, they will go and they will bow and they will kiss the hand of this older person that they respect, and that's how they'll show their respect and give honor to this individual. And then in turn, the older, the one who is honored, will give out gifts, and they'll give out the chocolates and the savory treats and a big meal and sometimes even money. So it's worth going to these trips. Well, I think that story, that tradition, this festival, captures for me a bit of the incarnation, if you will. I think it informs us in two aspects, that of going to gather and going to visit. God has visited us, right? We've heard that through numerous scripture passages, and that's just incredible for us. And we realize that God is with us because of that. But it also reminds us that God gives us gifts, that God is for us. See, God is with us. He is Emmanuel, and God is for us, and He gives us gifts. And that's what I want to look at tonight a little bit. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And just one verse, and I think we'll see both aspects of that here, that God is with us, He is present, and that God is for us. And when we looked at that Sunday, we realized that we were told directly by the angel that Jesus is coming to save us from our sins. And that's just an incredible thing that we'll look at a little bit more tonight. But let's look at Isaiah 9:6. And I'm going to ask you to, just where you are, just to read it with me out loud. Let's start. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Thank you. We get this passage, which gives us really a view of two Advents, the one that we celebrate tomorrow with the birth of Jesus Christ, and then His promised return when He will come and set up His kingdom for 1,000 years and rule in righteousness and justice. I want to look at just the first phrase, and that is the first Advent. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. A child is born. God comes and takes on humanity. That's incredible, isn't it? A son is given. This is God the Son, Jesus Christ. And so here we have Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. Undiminished deity. He didn't give any of that up. Complete humanity. Now that is mind-blowing, isn't it? My daughter told me a story this week that I think really fits well here. She's a fourth grade teacher, and I have permission to tell this story, but not to use any names. She had an assignment for her students, and she asked them to write down 3 words that would describe themselves. Write down 3 words. So Johnny, for instance, writes down 3 words, and he puts great self-awareness and great self-esteem. He puts handsome, funny, and smart. Handsome, funny, isn't that great? Handsome, funny, and smart. Well, Billy, Billy puts down, not so smart. Not so smart. I mean, I don't know what runs through your mind, but I'm like, let's give this kid a hug. What's he dealing with? So my daughter goes over to him and just says, "Why did you write this?" And he looks at her, almost astonished that she could ask this question. And he says, "Well, it is true. I'm only in the fourth grade, and I don't even know chemistry." Not so smart. Well, when it comes to the incarnation, when it comes to you and me thinking about how God can be fully God and fully man, how that can be Jesus Christ, we would write down not so smart, right? I mean, that would be you and me. We couldn't, we just can't grasp that with our minds. And so we try to realize what's going on. And what I want to look at tonight is that God is for us. He is God with us. And one thing I want you to think about on that story of the Eid festival, in that story or in that tradition, the lesser goes to visit the greater. They go to honor the one who deserves the honor. But in the incarnation, in the birth of Jesus Christ that we celebrate, the greater came to the lesser. The living God of the universe came and was born as a child, entering this world through the birth canal, growing up with all the experiences of a baby, of a child, of a teenager, a young adult, an adult. That's incredible, isn't it? That's very moving. And that draws us to worship Him as God with us. Well, not only is God with us, He is God for us. And so I want to look at the next phrase in that verse. And what we see here is that the government will rest on His shoulders. He will wear the government like a robe. And that means that when He comes, His promised return in the future to rule this earth with His kingdom, He will set up a government that is full of righteousness and justice and joy. And we look forward to that. And even there, that sense of hope reminds us that God is for us. We have something to look forward to. And we can bank on it because just like all the prophecies and predictions of His first advent came true, we know that these will come true. He is coming again. God is for us. And we see that throughout this passage. We see that in all that God does, has done, is doing, will do for us. And then here at the end of the passage, He gives us four names. And what they do is they draw us into the very character of Jesus Christ. They help us understand His nature better. They remind us that God is for us, that He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So as we look at these names quickly, I want you just to relax. I want you to breathe deeply of whatever grace and truth that God has for you. May you have a fresh understanding of that. May we celebrate His goodness in a new way because of our understanding of Him. May you rejoice over who He is. So the first name that we see is that, in the fact that God is for us, is that He is Wonderful Counselor. And you know what that means is that we can trust Him. We can trust Him. He is Wonderful Counselor. This one wonderful is a very interesting, intriguing word in the original Hebrew. It means incomprehensible. It means exceptional. It means rare. And it's applied here to Jesus as Counselor. That means that He has all wisdom for us. We can trust Him when we go to Him for guidance. Even better, we can trust Him for healing. Isn't that what we go to counselors for a lot? We want a healed relationship. We want to deal with some issue in our lives, and we're looking for healing. And so this individual spends time poking and probing and trying to understand us and our background and our context and our situation. Well, Jesus Christ doesn't have to do that. He knows all your scars. He knows what's been done to you. He knows all your secrets. He knows what you've done. He knows all the hurts and the pains from everything that's gone on in your life. And He cares about you. He loves you deeply. And so He is going to bring His wisdom to bear upon you. He is a wonderful counselor in that sense. And He will bring you healing when you walk with Him, which we can do because God is with us. The second phrase we see is that He is called Mighty God. And so we're reminded of His power, right? His power, which is unlimited, it is infinite, and we can't even begin to imagine that. Again, we're not so smart because it's incredibly impossible to understand how He can exert any power and use that power and not have lost any power, not have used up any power. That's who He is, and He is the living God. And so think with me about some of the big areas that He is taking care of for us. He is our Creator. And so everything that we see, including these glorious sunsets, there was another one last night. I hope you got to see it. Or maybe you're a mountain person or an ocean person. All of us love some aspect of creation. He is the one who spoke it into being. He is the one who is creative enough to come up with it. He is the one who is powerful and to make it happen. He is the one who is sovereign enough to think out all the intricate laws that keep it running and spinning. He is the Creator. He's also the sustainer. We're told that Jesus Christ holds all things together. And what that means basically is that if He didn't and you were walking down the street, then all the atoms that make you up would just fly in all different directions. Be like a bunch of preschool children trying to move through the playground. But Jesus Christ holds things together. He sustains. He's Creator and sustainer, and He's Redeemer. He is Redeemer. And what that means is that He came to save us from our sins. He came to pay the penalty of death for our sins. So He died on the cross for our sins. And He offers eternal life. He offers forgiveness of sins to all who believe in Him. And that's an incredible thing, that we can trust Him. When we look at the miracles throughout the New Testament, in each one we see God's sovereign power, His sovereignty at work. We see His power at work. We see His compassion for people at work. And we see His authority over nature and demons and disease and death. And that draws us in to trust Him. When you walk with Jesus because He is with you, you can trust Him with any area of your life. You can believe and know that He is going to come through you and that He can do whatever He wants to do to accomplish His plan. And the best thing that He tells us in Scripture is that He wants to make us like Himself. He wants to conform us to His image so we can cling to that truth regardless of what is going on in our lives. He is there to comfort as our counselor. He is there to guide us. He is powerful enough to see us through each and every situation. He is Mighty God. The third thing we see is that He is Eternal Father, that He is forever our protector and our provider. Now, we see Eternal Father, and we just kind of recoil a little bit. If you're a good theologian, you know, you're thinking, now, is the Trinity confused here? Isn't there God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? There is, but He's not talking theologically about the Trinity here, the prophet Isaiah. He's just simply telling us about the nature of Jesus Christ, and His nature is to be as a Father, a good Father, a Father who is protective of His own, and a Father who provides for His own. And He does that always. So I want you to think of the perfect Father that you can imagine. It might be the one that you have or had. It might be the one that you wish you had, the one who's always kind and present, caring, willing to teach and guide, to discipline with love. Jesus Christ is the Eternal Father. He is the one who cares about you, who is there, present with you, who is guiding you, protecting and providing. I had a conversation with a good friend this week that just keeps coming to mind every time I think about Jesus as eternal Father. It's a good earthly example. His family is struggling with an issue with the children and things they've discussed, and they've done different things about it and all of that. And this week he, as he was praying and asking God to lead him, asking Jesus to be his wonderful counselor, he was led to say, you know, we just need to return to Scripture and look at our identity in Christ. And we need to firm that up and realize who we are in Christ and who He is in us. And I just thought, man, that's incredible to think of a father, a man who is protecting and providing for his family and leading them in that way. That's a beautiful thing. That's an eternal Father. And that's who Jesus is for us. And the fourth thing that we see is that He is Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. So as a prince, He's a ruler, right? He's a ruler. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. No one, nothing has any authority over Him. He is Prince of Peace. And as we look throughout Scripture, you know, there's the old cliche that He wants us to understand clearly that we are not to fear, because there are 365 commands to fear not throughout Scripture, one for every day. But still, we deal with stress and anxiety, right? So we have passages like Philippians 4, where we're reminded that in our anxiety, we can be thankful that God is in control. We can commit that to Him in prayer. And He says it will be given a peace that surpasses all understanding. It can't be explained. And that's why we rarely go there. We just think, no, it's hopeless. I'm anxious. I got to deal with this on my own. But no, God can see us through. And He promises to guard our hearts and our minds, our thoughts and our emotions with His presence. Through the power of His presence, we experience His peace. I want to read some lyrics from a singer-songwriter that you're probably familiar with, Rich Mullins. He passed away in an accident long ago, so maybe you're not familiar with his music. But here's just a little chorus from his song, Hold Me, Jesus, that I think really captures this idea of Jesus ruling us with peace, calling out to Him. He says this as he's singing to the Lord, "Sometimes my life just doesn't make sense at all. When the mountain seems so big and my faith just seems so small. So hold me, Jesus, because I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been my King of glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace?" Jesus Christ offers peace to those who are anxious, those who are worn out, those who are tired and lost and lonely, those who try too hard and those who don't try hard enough. He offers peace. And He doesn't do that just by removing conflict. He does that by inserting Himself into your presence. We have a Lord and Savior who is a wonderful counselor that we can trust with our needs, because He knows us intimately and cares about us. And we have a mighty God that can deal with any situation in your life. If you want to respond to Him in loving obedience, He will see it through. We have a God, Jesus, who is eternal Father. He protects and provides always and forever. And we have Jesus, who is Prince of Peace. He gives us peace internally when we're dealing with anxiety and stress. He gives us peace between one another. And most importantly, He gives us peace with God. You see, we are told that we are in darkness, that we are dead in trespasses and sin. And so when we opened tonight with Isaiah's words, we weren't talking about a darkness because they didn't have electricity back then. Talking about a spiritual darkness, dead in trespasses and sin, worthy only of God's wrath. And that's the condition that all of us are born into. But there's great news that God is with us and God is for us. And Jesus Christ went to the cross and He offers you forgiveness of sins. You'll get rid of any guilt and shame that you're carrying with you. Enter your life, offer you the free gift of eternal life. And I would challenge you tonight to receive Him as your Savior if you haven't yet. If you are a follower of Jesus, rejoice in Him. Call out to Him by whatever name you need tonight. He knows your needs. But if you don't yet know Jesus Christ, I invite you to trust Him as your Savior. You can do that right now. You just commit your life to Him. You believe that He died on the cross for your sin in your place. was buried and rose again, victorious over sin and death. That is the simplicity of the gospel, and that is the beauty of God's grace. And when you trust him like that with your life, he forgives your sins and enters your life to give you eternal life. Let me ask you to bow your heads and pray with me now, if you will. And if you've made that decision to trust Jesus, I invite you just to talk to him in some simple prayer like this from your heart. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm worthy of death as a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin in my place and rose from the dead. I ask you to come into my life and lead me. Thank you for forgiving me my sins. In Jesus' name.